reading from Philippians, the second chapter this morning, verses 1 through 18. If you are able, please stand and let's read this word together. Thank you, Jesus. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that is truth, that is our rock, it is eternal. We lift up our cups to you this day, Father, and we pray, God, that you fill them to overflowing, that you fill them, God, as we lift them up to you. Come and quench this thirsting of our soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. You may be seated. Good morning. Good morning. My name is Michael Clare. I'm the pastor of Living Hope Church. I'm blessed to worship with you, to see you here, getting excited about God. What a beautiful thing. I threw some notes in the bulletin. I'm laughing at myself. Because I looked at it, and I said, you know, I'm going to change the order. So I'm going with a little different order. So I am preaching to the church today, and you should be able to stay with me. Some are saying that'll be the first time we're able to stay with you. But I am preaching to the church. I was challenged this week in that notion. If you're new here, take in what you can. But the church is going to be challenged this day. The church should be challenged every day. And I have a conviction to bring us to that place where we're all challenged by what the word has for us. Humility and exaltation is the title that I believe God laid on my heart for what we're going over today. And I believe we have to go back to Philippians 1:27, which we didn't really hit last week, but we're going to bring it forward this week. And it says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Wow. One spirit and one mind. When do we see that happen? In this world, when do we see that happen? 21 years ago, our country came together because one of the most devastating things that hit our country in New York occurred. and there was a rallying. You'd watch a baseball game, and they're honoring the president who was deep into the situation, helping as best as he could, feeling the emotion of it all, especially when you saw the baseball games in New York or football games that would follow. Oh, my goodness, you felt this coming together as a country. It told us some things, too. It told us how fragile the world is in which we live. So when we talk about the anniversary date of an event like 9/11, and we say, let us never forget, let us always remember what took place in that day, I want to challenge you to remember some things that go beyond the actual event itself. One of them is the fragility of things. Remember the fragility of things. Remember the reality of what's in this world in terms of hate. There's a sweeping move to say that it's all good and it's all okay if we just drink a Coca-Cola and come together. I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. I used to love that song. And it make you feel so good, didn't it? You'd want to join in. I can't. I'm on the wrong key before I even say I. But the reality of it is, there was no depth to the statement because Christ was not in it. This was a unity created by a movement of people to bring about peace and love and flowers and pot and whatever else it was bringing in that day. But there's no substance behind it. When Christ talks about unity, it's at a different level. And he is there in the midst of it. The one who we heard earlier, we can trust in him. So that's the foundation for everything that's going to come. So when I look to the body of Christ, or when we look to the body of Christ, and it speaks of unity of the brethren, this carries significant weight. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, we do not all think alike. But we are in the same spirit, serving the same God that laid his life down for you and I. And we need to know that that is where we are in unity. All right? So just as a foundational piece, I want to get that in there. One spirit with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. Well, who am I talking to? I am talking to the church. Remember the conviction I stated at the beginning that I had? It's for the church. And it may be a little hard, and I hope it is, because we have to come together. I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony is in more disharmony today than it's ever been. A flu bug goes out and we fall apart. And I'm talking broad. I'm not just talking here. This church actually did really well, relatively speaking. But I'm talking about the greater church fell apart. And divisions occurred because we were not grounded in the truth of who God is. We have God as a nice idea or a nice thought instead of the reality of who he is. And in this chapter, he's going to teach us of the reality of who he is. Who I am. He'll share both. And I see myself and I fall short. You heard the testimony just a little while ago, how short he fell from what he was called to be and do. And it's true for all of us. But Christ does not fall short. But here's his heart's desire. In Psalm 131:1, it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." That's a psalm of David, and he's talking about the beauty of drawing together in unity under him. Do not let little things divide us. And if there's differences, we talk them through. And we try to come to some understandings. But you know what? We won't always come to understanding. But you look at the person across from you and you say, the blood was shed for that man or that woman, and they're his child. Or you look at that woman and you say, man, she should get this by now. Or he should get this by now. And it doesn't seem that they're getting it by now. They'll get it. Why? Because there's a Savior after their soul in such a passionate way that he's given it to them. And he's given it to them that they would get it. And that I would get it. And that you would get it. It's his business. we make it our business and we begin to judge one another. Where does it say to do that? We can speak to somebody about something that's out of order, and we've done that in this church many times. We come to a conclusion. The conclusion may be they refuse to come along. Okay, now it's really God's business, and God's going to deal with it in his time and his way, but he's not going to taint or pollute the sheep of a church. But we don't hold these divisive things that keep us divided when we are supposed to be together. It does not please God. Ephesians 4:3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's the charge that Paul gave to the church at Ephesus. And he's giving this from a pretty mature perspective. One of the later letters that he wrote. And this is what he's saying to the church. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. If you are in the church, this is so speaking to you and me. I'm in the church. And it's speaking to me that we are one because we are one in all the things that I just read. That's where we're one. Where are we not one? I'm 5'2", and Nick is 5'8", I think. Right, Nick? We're a little different. We're different in all kinds of different ways. I see it a little differently than she does. And I see it a little differently than he does. But here's where we're united in the body. And how do we come together? We'll get to that. Endeavoring to keep the spirit of encouragement, comfort from his love, fellowship with the spirit, which is koinonia, which is what we try to. It says, forsake not the gathering together, especially in that day. When you see that day approaching, we are to come together more than ever. Let God do the sifting and the shaking. We do the presenting of the truth, and we love as he would love. We love as he's called us to love. And we instruct and we teach. In Jesus' name. And then we get into today's reading. This lays the foundation of one spirit, one mind. Humility and exaltation. God's going to give us something that we all need to bring to heart, bring to our being. Philippians 2:1 says, therefore, if, it should really say since, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Wow. It's pretty clear what he's calling the church to do. And then in verse 4 it says, oh, I'm sorry, verse 3, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, which is really humility, let each esteem others better than himself. That is what God is calling you and I to do. When Jesus came and he said, I did not come to be served, but to be a servant, there was a message for the ages for all of us. That's what we're called to do as the church. And too many times by position, by grandiose thinking, I don't know what it is, but we say, I need to be served. It starts at a young age when I tell my kid to rub my feet, and I'll give him an ice cream cone. And then I'll tell him a little bit later, you're a little old for an ice cream cone, but rub my feet. Scratch my back. Take out the garbage. You know, and I come to demand a little bit. And I'm calling it teaching and instructing a kid in the way that they should go. No, what I'm really doing is I'm teaching them that I'm the boss, I'm the king, I'm the bull, I'm the prince. Rub my feet, scratch my back, take out the garbage. Instead of teaching them the whys. And we carry that attitude wherever we go. I'm a believer, I'm in Christ. That's beautiful. Therefore, you should. No, therefore, I should. When I'm a believer, I'm the one that should. I should be serving them. I should be serving the lost. I should be reaching out. That's why I'm talking to the church right now. So I can say, you should be loving them. You should be serving them. You should be reaching out. And we do it without judgment. We're going into a world that is a hot mess. And it gets messier by the day, regardless of the flattery that we put to it. regardless of the flowers we plant on it, regardless of teaching them how to sing with a Coke in their hand in perfect harmony. We're going into this world that's a hot mess, and we are going there for a purpose, to be like Christ to them. That's what we're called to do as a church, is to go out and be like Christ to them. What did Christ be like when he was here? It talks about his humility. I did not come to serve, but to be a servant. Here, let me wash your feet. Jesus. Jesus. And he'll take that to even greater lengths as we move forward. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Isn't that hard? That is so hard to do, but that's what we're called to do as a church. Let it be about their interest. What do they need? How can I minister to them? Not about feed me, feed me, feed me. You know what we should tell the church? Feed yourself. Feed yourself. We'll be here to help you, but feed yourself, church. Get into the Word of God on your own and begin to read it, learn of him, study it, and then go do it to those he is sending you to. Amen. What does it mean to not be selfish? It means we don't worry anymore about fear, because it's about fear is what I carry, what I struggle with. We heard that testimony here. Fear is what I carried. I'm in him. Don't worry about my fear, Mike. Go out and do what he said. Tell them. Tell them the truth of who I am is what Jesus is telling me. But Lord, it's scary. I know it's scary. Go tell them. Trust in me. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge me, God says. And I'll direct your path. And right now I'm directing you to him, to her, to them. Go. Get out of your ivory tower. Get out of your ivory palatial church. And go. That's what he's telling us. And I am so convicted as I stand here, because I wrestle with this very thing myself. Yeah, somebody else will tell them. They'll get it. I gave them a good tip. No, finish the deal. Tell them the story. Tell them the truth. That's what God's calling us to do. In Jesus' name. In Ephesians 4:1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. This is Paul talking. God's main guy is talking. He says, I, a prisoner of the Lord. Do you see yourself as a prisoner of the Lord, or do you think yourself as a mighty soldier of God and he needs you? How about you see yourself as a servant of the Lord, as a prisoner of the Lord, and you go and do what he says, and not hold something over God's head? Oh, I'm going to put my efforts here. And he's saying, no, you go tell. Oh, man, what a challenge. It's kind of fun talking to the church. I feel like I'm exercising all this stuff and issues that I have. As a prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. Everyone who has lifted their hand and lifted their heart and lifted their spirit to Jesus and said, you be Lord. I'm done with being Lord of my own life because I mess it up. You be Lord. You be my Savior. Thank you for taking my sin. Thank you for growing me to the place you want me to be. But you be Lord, and we follow that. We follow that. Thank you, Jesus. And then we act in the ways that he taught us to act. He says, let this mind be in you, this attitude, this thinking, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let that mind, what mind? The mind of Christ. How do I get the mind of Christ? I'm a human being. He's God. How do I get the mind? I go to the place where his mind enters into me, and it's through worship. It's through the study of his word, and it's through an interactive relationship between you and him in prayer, is how I see it. It's getting connected with brothers and sisters in Christ who are further along in the walk than you, and letting them speak life to you. It's letting a pastor bellyache and scream a little bit, and hearing what he's saying, even though you may not like it, and hearing it. You don't like it because of personal reasons, but scripturally you can't really argue it, then maybe you should listen to it. This is for all of us. Therefore, as a prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling in which you were called. Here's how he told us to walk. Here's how Jesus walked. With all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love. Not bearing with one another like I'm bearing with this guy. It's driving me crazy. They're nuts. They're lazy. They're not there. They're not mature. No, in love. That means you will go through them. You'll see where they're at spiritually, and you'll begin to lift them up from there. I'll just say this because I'm talking to the church. When it says wives are to submit unto their husbands, there's purpose in that. A husband flourishes and grows and shines when the wife does what she's called to do. And that is to come under submission of her husband, but to build him up in the common mission that they're in. When a wife builds up a husband, there's nothing he can't do. But if you're tearing your husband down and emasculating him, there's nothing he can do. He's defeated before he gets out of the blocks. And husbands, if you love like Christ loved, and you begin to love your wives in the attitude of a servant, not the king, the bull, the prince, the man, how much better will she begin to respect you and honor you in your place? You serve your wife. Go home and do the dishes. I had a friend say that from this church. Somebody was whining about this rotten relationship he had in his marriage. He says, guy needs to go home and do the dishes. Clean up the kitchen. What did that mean? That means he's going to go home and serve. Why would he do that? He's the king. He's the top guy. He would do that because that's what Christ did. He came and he served. He was the foot washer. Thank you for that, Gerald. That all came because of our discussions. Thank you, Jesus. Colossians 3:1 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. How easy is it for us to set our minds on things of the earth? There are so many distractions on the earth that it takes our eyes off of the things above because we're frightened, we're scared, we don't trust, whatever it is. He's saying, put your eyes up here. He said that crud will happen in the last days, and crud is happening in the last days. And it's going to happen with more and more intensity and fervency as time goes on. It's not going to just happily get better. We are, because our eyes are fixed upon Christ. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. You know why they're going to grow dim? Because it's perishable. In the light of his wonder and grace. You're all so happy I didn't sing it. Jesus, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. The old man is dead. Do not resurrect your old man. That guy, the old Mike LeClaire, is dead. Thank you, Jesus. When I think back of who I used to be, it makes me nauseous. Very honestly, it makes me sick to my stomach. And it makes me think, how could I do that? How could I be that? Thinking all the while that I was good to go. No, he changed me. He transformed me. He conformed me to his likeness, and he's doing it every day, bit by bit. And he'll do that with you, and I'm expected, and you're expected to be on that journey of change. Thank you, Jesus. Talking to the church. Proverbs 15:33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Before you get to honor and glory and all the things that are promised the believer, we come through humility. We come through brokenness. We come from there to get to there. Oh, no. I'm there now. Oh, no, you're not. You're on a journey like the rest of us. You might have a couple less spots or wrinkles, but believe me, you're a baggy old rag too. Your future is in good hands. Your present is in good hands. Amen, James? That's what you said earlier. Your right now is in good hands. And very honestly, once you made a decision for Christ back then, when I made it back then, I was in good hands. And thank God he took me step by step as I could handle it. A lot of church ladies, man, spoke into my life. They really did. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you have nothing without the Holy Spirit. Okay, give me the Holy Spirit. I got the Holy Ghost. And it's changed me. You need to study His Word. I know all that stuff. I didn't know anything. But only certain people would tell me. Ralph would tell me this all the time with a smile on his face. He wouldn't say a word. He would just be Ralph. I want some of that. Tim Mandich today tells me these things all the time. Doesn't say a word. I look at how he lives. I said, I want some more of that. I became a better lover because of James Koshin. That sounds really weird. And maybe in the church I shouldn't talk about that, but I've learned how to love better because of his passion for loving people. This is a continuation of last week a little bit, isn't it? But it's the truth. It's the truth. Be patient with each other as they grow from their starting points. If you don't believe me, go ask Holly Watir what I was like 20 years ago. And she'll go, oh my goodness, it was a hard work. But thank Jesus that they went through the hard work. So then it says in Philippians 2:6, who being in the form of God, that's his nature, his essence of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Paul is speaking about Jesus here. Paul is talking about Jesus, who came as the Son of God at the right hand of the Father, came to earth, and this is who he's referring to. He said he was did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Consider it robbery to be equal with God. How could Jesus do this? He came as a servant. He came as humility. He's going to become sin. How could this happen? Why? Because he is God. Jesus is God. Now, you've heard this before. I'm going to go through it again because it so moves me. And I believe it will move you. In Colossians 1:16, we learn, again, what Paul is saying about Jesus. It says, for by him, Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. He's kind of a big deal. And do we see him as a big deal, or do we bring him down to our level of thinking and make him like relative to us? God forgive us. You can't bring anything about God down to our level except for his love for us and receive it. His forgiveness for us and receive it. His lordship, we have no clue. Got a little clue. Just a little one. I'm better than that guy. Way past that guy. That guy, I want to be like that guy. Jesus. And he is before all things. And all things in him consist, or they hold together. Everything is held together by Christ. Well, that's a little out there, isn't it? It sure is. And I can't grasp it. But it's true. All things hold together. And you know what? It's so grand and so amazing, we can't comprehend it. But in your life, all things hold together. In my child's life, all things held together. When my son was in the hospital and he was sick, and I'm scared that he might not make it, all things held together by Christ. He was there. And I've learned to trust that more and more as I get older. He is God. He is God. And he is the head of the body, the church. Makes it very clear who we're talking about, doesn't it? He is the head of the body, the church. That's Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. That's it. It doesn't get any bigger than that. That's our Jesus. That is our Christ. That is my Lord. That is my Savior. And I hope he's yours. Because in him I can trust. Because he's so grand. And the things that are happening in our petty lives that we get so angry at this group or that group or his thinking or her thinking. We're missing the big thing for the little tiny things that are meaningless. God, forgive us. In John 1:1, I'm gonna go through this relatively quickly. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. That's a beautiful, powerful scripture. But when you match it up to Genesis chapter 1, and Moses is speaking here, he says, in the beginning. Starts out the same way. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, John said that Jesus was the creator. He is. But here it says God created. He did. Oh, beautiful. The heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit was hovering over the face of the water. So all three of the Godhead are there. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are present at creation. You've heard this before. We need to get this. We need to get it at the level that it was given by the Spirit of God, given to Moses to give to us several thousand years ago. I don't even know how many thousands of years ago. And it's given for us today. And we still wrestle with it, don't we? Yeah, God, but. Yeah, God is, he's my Lord. Yes, he is. But he didn't do all that stuff. Oh, no. You're making him something that he's not. That's not true. People that speak like that are making him something that he's not. And anytime anybody steps out to diminish anything that Christ has done, whether it be creation, whether it be the time in which he created, whether it be his crucifixion, his death, his burial, his resurrection, anybody that tries to diminish that are diminishing God. They do not belong to him. That's serious. Church, be bold in what you believe. Stand firm in what you believe. This is about you personally. Everybody right now, pretend nobody else is here and I'm talking right at you. This is for you. This is for you to get that he is God and you're not. He is God and there is no other. There's no other way. And we'll get to that. And then to be further in proof, it gets down to verse 14 and it says, and this word, which spoke everything into existence, which is Jesus himself, was made flesh and he dwelt among us. There's no way around the truth of Scripture concerning who the Creator is. There's no way around Scripture to diminish who Christ is. And the attempt to do that sets one out of order, and they can never come to a conclusion that's based in truth. We have to get that, because in the world that we live in, when a building can fall down 20 years ago, 21 years ago, and kill 3,000 people, and a country can be just about demolished completely in several months, and it's so fragile about what another country can do to the world because of their power and their positioning, it's a fragile world. And if your hope is in any man in the world, we're in trouble. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Because he was perfectly righteous, he was able to fulfill every letter, every jot and tittle of the law. And because he could fulfill the law, when he went for the sacrifice for your sin and my sin, it mattered. It worked. He covered my sin. My issue is, do I believe it and receive it? Or do I say, it's a fairy tale? It's not a fairy tale. I can't speak a greater truth. My name is Mike LeClaire. I tell you this every Sunday. My name is Mike LeClaire is less true than everything I just said about Christ. The reality of the truth of the matter is everything. And we have to get a hold of it. Thank you, Jesus, for your Holy Spirit. Why is he exalted? Because he is God. Leave here today with that understanding that he is God. Verse 7 says, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. Can you imagine sitting on the throne, the right hand of the Father, setting aside your glory and taking up the mantle of humility to step into earth. You're fully spirit, and now you're going to step into the flesh of man. You're going to be abused. You're going to be belittled. You're going to be spit upon. Eventually, it's going to lead to the point where you're going to come and you're going to die for these people that did this to you. You're going to be not believed. He came as a bondservant. He came with a purpose. Wow. I want to serve him. Does it make you want to serve him? Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why did he do this? 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, mine, he became poor, that through his poverty might become rich, that the poor would become rich, that you would be rich." We so often, because we're physical beings, want to go to the physical place of wealth. That might happen, yip-de-doo, if it does, but this isn't about that. That you would become rich in spirit. That you would become rich in him. That everlasting life would come to you. That you would go to the place where he is. That's what this is about. That's what he's done. What has he done with us in the meantime? He is raising us up. Pastor James, I think it'd be a good time to come up here with your team. He's raising us up to become what? To become light. Remember at the beginning of creation? He created the day. It was morning, it was evening, and evening came. Darkness had already been hovering over the waters. But he created day. He created light. And he said that the light was good. It's really interesting to me that he said that the light was good. And then in John, it says that Jesus is the light of the world. And that's a good thing. And then he says, men loved the darkness, and they hated the light. So that physical separation of light at creation is a picture of the spiritual separation of darkness and light here in our world today, here in our lives today. Wow. Wow. Men love the darkness. How many times does church love the darkness? Here's the conviction that came upon me, and I shared this with a brother this week. It was so ridiculous, it was funny, but it was so unbelievably true. Sometimes I'll present a message and I'll try to soften it before I deliver it. Why do I do that? To be really nice to you? No. I do that because it's a hard message to give sometimes. And if I soften it a little bit, maybe you'll receive it a little bit, and maybe you won't hate me so much. You know what I'm saying? I'm done with that. I'm really trying to be done with that. And I'm not trying to be angry, but I want to be truthful. And if I soften a blow that you were meant to receive, it's for you. Church has a bite for those that are resisting against it. But it still needs to be delivered. And my job is to deliver it in love, not with marshmallows, but in love. In such a way that it speaks to your heart and to your spirit. But God has called the church to be light in a dark world that is resistant to the light. That's what he's called us to be. He called you to be a bright light. Not a dim lit wit, a bright light. And he calls us to let our light shine amongst men. Why? That they may see Christ in you. That's God's message, I believe, when it all whittles down, is that we can be a light bearer for him, representing Christ to the best of our ability. We don't do it in our own strength. We can only do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. That when they see something good in you, it is Christ in you that they see. And by the way, that takes all the pressure off, doesn't it? That it's Christ in me that they see, and I release him to them. Sometimes I release him through my mouth. Sometimes I release him through my serving. Sometimes I release him just through my countenance. But I let the light of Christ shine that they may know, and that the lure of the light would suck them out of the darkness where their lives are in shambles, a mess. I've seen it happen in this church. It is the most beautiful thing when those bearing light speak into the life of those who are lost. This is the call for the church in this day. And the darker it gets, the brighter the light that you have within you shines. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let the light of Christ in you shine. Let them see it. Don't cover it up. Behind the menu, put the stinking menu down, and yes, you're going to give them a tip, but tell them that God is real. Amen, Lamiai, he's real. God is real. Lamiai, he loves you. He's real. That's what we're called to do. Can we do it? Or do we get in our own way? Lord, let us not get in our own way. What does that mean for us? We're going to humble ourselves. We're going to come to a place of humility. And he will lift you up. Let him lift you up as you walk in his light. Don't lift yourself up or be concerned about it. He will lift you up. And it will be right. It will be good. It will be perfect. It will be Jesus. Jesus. 1 Peter 5:6 says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you and me in due time. So what did this mean for Jesus? Here's what Paul said in verse 9. He said, therefore God also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. It's one of my favorite scriptures. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow above the earth, on the earth, and below the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And I would say, if you're a believer, say, he is my Savior too. That is where he's bringing us. Personally, he's bringing us to this understanding. And we will say Jesus Christ is Lord, not because we're compelled to, but because we so deeply desire to, because he is in us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to have a little worship. There are people up here to pray. If you want to receive that Jesus, you come and tell them. If you feel that you've been faltering in your walk, you've been lazy, you have not stepped out in faith, you've been operating by fear, the gospel message that is within you, you've kept within you, and you know that the time is to change, you come on up here. And they will pray for you. And there's no judgment with prayer team. They just want to pray for somebody. They really do. They don't care if it's this, if it's healing, if it's what. They want to pray for people. Come up and get prayer. I pray that in Jesus' name. Right now, I pray that the Spirit of God would convict every heart that's in this room. Would bring them to a place of repentance if they need to be in a place of repentance. I pray that the Spirit of God would speak to your heart and draw you to him. Draw you to him in a real sense, with armor of God already put on you, with the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that he would draw you to him, that you would rebound and go out. In Jesus' name.